This call is now being recorded.
Thank you so much. This is the Design Team N and Design Team X call for the IANA Stewardship Working Group. This is Stephanie Ducheneau. We also have on the call Greg Shatton, and we hope to be joined later by Aubrey Doria. And now we're just going to turn it over to the DTX separation review document and run through comments on that. Greg, do you think it makes more sense to start with the separation review document or to start with a punch list question?
I think it's a chicken and the egg question. I think we can start with this.
Okay.
Also, I need permission to get into the punch list document, which I've requested.
Great. Let me see. Okay, so the first thing that we have, Greg, I just sent you permission to get into the punch list doc, but right now we're looking at the DTX separation review document. I don't think there's any disagreement about the first two points, which is the creation of a fundamental bylaw or exhaustion of the other escalation mechanisms. I would make a note that in this document it might be worthwhile to note what escalation mechanisms we would think that this has to go through before the separation review can be triggered, but I don't think this is contentious. There's an insertion here by
I can't tell whose insertion that is.
Oh, I can't tell who this is either. Cross-community of the SOAC would be formed. The IFR would be designated. Okay, so I think this was actually probably Aubrey's original text, and it wasn't clear whether it was the IANA function review process that would carry this out or a cross-community working group.
Right, I see. That makes sense. Or it makes sense that we haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. Do you have strong feelings on this one, Greg, or do we want to leave the placeholder here until...
Well, trying to think, I mean, thinking this through for a second, if the IFR itself is a part of the escalation process,
Then
I don't think they'd be the last stop because they would have already conducted a review that would have resulted in, I guess the question is whether the separation review is something that occurs after after an IFR type review, or if the IFR type review is just triggered by a performance problem and lower level escalations having failed. So it really kind of depends where we're at. I mean, the IFR, I guess you know, is supposed to be a multi-stakeholder cross-community group.
Right.
So a separate cross-community group being formed doesn't make so much sense to me.
So my understanding is, I mean, I think there's two different processes. There's, on the one hand, one body that is actually reviewing the performance and identifying any problems in that performance and coming up with a recommendation about what needs to be done. That's the review function of it. And then there's another element that is, like, actually managing an RFP and potentially designating a new operator or potentially choosing to go with the same operator if that's what the outcome of the RFP was. Do we think there should be two different processes, or that is all integrated into the same?
I'm not sure. You know what I think might make sense is to work past this point in the document, because this is kind of a summary. This paragraph is supposed to be a summary of what comes later, and I think if we work through the rest of the document, that may resolve this issue.
Sounds good. Just going to mark it as red so it's clear to come back. Okay. Now we're moving down to the section on triggers, and I think that's the first part where there's a lot of debate.
Yes. A lot of color on the page here.
A lot of color. When you open it up, it's even more. So, Greg, we have had this discussion before, and you thought that one of the outcomes of the regular IANA review should be able to recommend the initiation of an RFP, that it should be able to follow that general process.
Yeah.
And I was wary of that. I think Martin here has captured something that kind of sits at the middle of it, that initiation of this separation review process could be a recommendation, or separation process could be a recommendation of the review team, but I would still say that it requires some voting threshold to actually be accepted.
Yeah, no, I think that makes good sense, and I guess there's, in a sense, thinking about it as if it were a working group,
right.
The working group's ultimate this decision would have to go back to its chartering organizations for review and approval.
Right.
So, just like a GNS work group goes back to the council, so I think that's right, that the IRF sounds like some sort of Israeli secret service shouldn't be able to just initiate it on its own. It should go back out to the community, or at least to the chartering organizations, before they can actually, you know, initiate anything further. Otherwise, they're kind of drunk with power.
Right. And that, it was with that in mind that I had deleted that first option. It wasn't because I thought that it shouldn't be able to be recommended by the IANA function review. It was that I think a separate step has to follow of that being approved, and the question is, by whom? Who is approving the recommendation of the IANA function, the IRT, or whatever the acronym is right now?
Right.
Or, like, I think there's two separate ways that it comes about. On the one hand, you have a recommendation coming out of the regular review process. That's approved by whomever this, whatever the threshold is that we're identifying here. Otherwise, it's not a part of the regular review process. We identify that there's a problem, a special review following a structure similar to the one that we do for the periodic review comes about, Like I think if it's coming out of a regular review process, there might be less that has to be done in terms of information gathering, so the process should look a little bit different, but I think the trigger could be the same maybe for these two circumstances.
Hi, this is Aubrey. My name, just to let you know.
Hi, Aubrey.
Hi.
It's Greg and Stephanie.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So we're just getting to the triggers for the separation review. And I was talking about the context that I deleted the first bullet. And it wasn't because I don't think that it can come out of a recommendation of the IANA review team, but that I think that that recommendation should subsequently have to be approved by some subset of the, this is the voting threshold that we're defining herein, but some subset, and then that would go forward. That it can be a recommendation, but there has to be some community and also customer approval of the recommendation by the review team before it goes ahead.
Well, I thought the customer, the review team would have had to go through a board approval in any case.
A board approval?
Oh, doesn't, that's what I was thinking. I mean, isn't that sort of a norm on a, I guess that's what had been written in the, sorry, I just got out of the ITU building. Especially since the review was done in the sort of same context as other reviews, most of those do go to the board. Now, if the board didn't approve it, then it has all the, you know, the escalation procedures for board, you know, for getting around board disapproval. But who else would approve it?
Well, I think we were thinking that maybe this comes before the board approval, that there'd be approval by the chartering organizations or by some, you know, multi-stakeholder at the organizational level. You know, in a sense, if you analogize it to a working group, the working groups have to take their end result back to their chartering organization or organizations and then bring them to the board.
Right, but this doesn't have chartering organizations in that same sense, does it?
As groups that will seat people in it. So, in a sense, even if they're not chartering organizations per se, they're kind of sponsors of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is one possibility, and we had listed in there, board was one of them, you know, the ESOs was another. I certainly, by the way, I certainly don't see it just being approved by the customers. That I certainly didn't see.
Personally, I don't see how a separation process would make sense or should go forward if all of the customers were satisfied. There was
I don't see how we would even get to the recommendation for it. I mean, an out-of-band IFR would be because the CSE or the GSO and CCNSO had asked for it. So we wouldn't have even been talking without that.
Okay, are you differentiating the IANA function review from the regular periodic review?
Well, the two, I mean, they're both the same, but, I personally wouldn't expect a regular periodic IFR to come out with a recommendation.
Like what they...
the street noise.
IFR, they could recommend a separation.
They could. All right, a regular periodic IFR could, but even then, and I agree that an IFR recommendation for going into the to the separation review has to be approved by someone. But I mean, even the IFR panel, the way we've set it up, is registry heavy. I mean, we've got more registry people in it than anything else, if I remember correctly.
I think that's the case.
Right. I mean, because you wrote that basically down, and that was, I mean, it was GNSO heavy, but it was also registry heavy. And such. So I can't imagine the RFR coming out with a review with a recommendation for separation without the registries having agreed. But it does make sense to go to the SOs and such to get their buy-in. But I have difficulty with just going to, you know, I mean, the way one of the proposals you've had was just going to the CCNSO and the registry stakeholder group. And that's something that, you know, I can't imagine me being able to get my stakeholder group to agree to. I'm surprised, Greg, that you think you can get yours to agree to it.
Oh, I don't think I can get mine to agree with that either. I didn't put that in. And our comment will you know, express disapproval of that concept.
Our comment will say that no review or no decision to separate should go ahead without a majority of the direct customers.
Okay, then I think we have an impasse on this one.
Well, I don't think we have an impasse entirely, because I think that, first off, let's just say there's a review by the GNSO in total, not just the registry stakeholder group. The GNSO and the CCNSO, seems to me that there should be approval by the GNSO as a whole, and then the CCNSO, which is all registries anyway, and that the GNSO approval, any GNSO vote requires a majority of at least of the contracted party's house.
Right, but you could do that. But you could do that with the registrars and the NOMCOM appointee, I believe. Now, if you said a supermajority, I think you're right. I think without a supermajority of the GNSO.
Oh, if we make it a supermajority NSO, that can't take place without the registry stakeholder group weighing, you know,
right,
coming out in favor of it. I think we need to go. That, to my mind, feels okay. Something that takes it out of the hand of the customers. You know, I understand the problem with that. Something that puts the bat in the hands of only the customers, I have a problem with that.
Right.
I think
that
was definitely the right balance. We just have to figure
out what that looks like. Right. Because I did have the scenario, and I know it was a very far-fetched scenario, but I did have a scenario where, you know, as I put it, since Jonathan had asked for scenarios, where there was a new, you know, IETF, you know, set of protocols, but they required registry investments to do, and so the registry said, sorry, you know, we don't want to do these new protocols. And you know, so we can end up in issues where that could be a problem.
And Audrey, response to that scenario is that this voting threshold is just the first part of the process.
Yeah.
The actual process of designating who that's going to be and carrying out the RFP is, like, certainly going to be carried out by a body that's not only registries. So there's no reason to believe that even if the registries wanted that, when you initiated the process, you would get the answer that people wanted, right?
Well, that's probably true. So we haven't determined who is doing the – because some people, for example, are recommending that it's the same IFR team that's doing –
I think the point on the list about it being a good balance to having a different body approving and carrying out the review process, having it be not exactly balanced in the same way, not exactly the same way composed, is a good check.
I would tend to agree with that.
Oh, okay, because I thought I was in a severe minority on that one, so I was concerned.
When you have a good idea, eventually people come around to it.
If I argue with Milton long enough, people will come around.
I don't dare about Milton.
There's no such thing as arguing long enough with Milton.
I have been arguing with Milton for 4 years now, or is it six? Okay. So if we could pull all those pieces together, we probably can do it. I don't know how loud this train is being for you guys.
you guys are comfortable if we change this second bullet back to what it was?
I mean, I feel like it's more...
Yeah, yeah, supermajority of the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that one. And I'm also comfortable, you know, that one was fine. No. I can understand why you wouldn't want the one that was two SOs and, I mean, two ACs and just one SO, because then, especially because it could be the ASO, and certainly that was a bad idea. And
right.
Even if it was just one of CCNSO or GNSO, that would probably not work either, so that makes a lot of sense.
I think it should be decided by 3 of 5 RALOs.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll go for that. Okay.
I knew you're trying to give me an ulcer.
He's too young for an ulcer, I'm sure. Okay, yeah. I'm not looking at the document now, but I think I've looked at it enough times that I sort of remember it.
Yeah, we're still in that trigger section, Aubrey.
Yeah.
We haven't moved.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm feeling unsafe. We should put a trigger.
Yeah.
What about the first bullet?
They modify that first bullet instead of it. I know you said you objected to it being removed. Can we modify the first bullet to say, on the recommendation of the IANA on a recommendation of the IANA functions review team, approved by the same threshold, a supermajority?
I guess the question is, would we have a separation review triggered without an IANA review function? I guess we would if it was a problem that arose outside of the cycle of the review. So,
well, no, I had been thinking that in any case, because that the first thing that the CSE and the GNSO and CCNSO would trigger would be an IFR.
Right,
and
whether it's
periodic
or special.
Right. Now, I know one of the arguments that we'll get from Milton and others on that is that means that it'll take longer to do that, but I just don't see this as something we're going to want to do precipitously.
I agree with you. I think that the separation review comes after. I wouldn't put these bullets separately. I'd say these are ands. It should be first an IANA review function takes place, and then that if their recommendation is to initiate a separation, then it goes to the GNSO and CCNSO councils for supermajority recommendation. So it's a two-step process. So
I'm fine with that. Do you think we can get away without including the board in that cycle?
Well, no, I think we do need can we get away with it? I guess the question is whether it should go from the council council approval to a separation. It does feel like we're getting away with something if we don't include the board at that point, because we're basically telling them that we're going to initiate a process that will actually issue an RFP. RFP, the board should approve the beginning of that process.
Yeah.
Unless we have to get another, you know, system where we're actually going to, you know, where we're going to decide whether we're going to issue an RFP.
Can we call it, if we're saying that the IANA function review has to take place before this separation process, can we call the separation review something different? Can we call it a separation process?
I was actually trying to call it, you know, a separability process, and I was even trying to get away from the word separation and say, because this is fulfilling that separability requirement. But we can call it anything. I'm fine with renaming it anything and getting rid of the word separation and getting rid of the word review.
Well, I guess, you know, if you look ahead a little bit to the range of possible separation review outcomes, the list of outcomes is no action needed, sanctions, or, you know, to against, you know, relevant to the identified deficiencies, an RFP, or full separation, or, you know, getting the other operational communities to share in the PTI. So
what we're actually talking about there, what comes before it, is what we're actually talking about there, the outcomes of the special review process that could precipitate a separation or a separability process?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that trying to decide whether we're talking about the separation process. It seems to me that you wouldn't create, there's kind of of steps. You wouldn't create an RFP unless you decided that
that
you needed, that the things were so broken you needed to at least find a third party.
I guess the way I had looked at it, and I've said it a couple times, but is that basically you have the IFR saying things are really messed up here. You know, there is no quick and easy solution. Guilty, you know. We need the separability mechanism to take its place. And then it's kind of like, you know, the punishment phase of a trial where you almost do it all over again. You say, okay, this group has done a review. They've said the following things. You know, they've brought up the following irretrievable issues. They've tried this, that, and the other thing. Nothing works. And they've called for the separation mechanism. That group then almost starts from scratch in terms of figuring out what to do about it.
Yeah, I still think it's a separation review because not all of the results are separation.
Okay, yeah.
As opposed to separation mechanism.
And that's why I was using the term separability review, because the concept is separability, the possible outcome is separation, but what you're really doing is you're doing that separability function that we said needs to exist, and that's what you're reviewing, whether or not to do that. But I really don't care about the name.
Right. And Stephanie, I'm not sure that we should delete that paragraph.
What paragraph?
The range of possible outcomes.
I moved it up.
Oh, okay.
My thought is that this special review is what is happening before the separation process. These are the possible outcomes. Then it's the trigger to actually initiate the separation process that we're talking about below.
I'm trying to think this through.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a lot of confusion around these issues.
Yeah, right. I mean, in my mind, clearly the first thing that happens is that there is a special IFR or IFT or whatever the hell we're calling it that conducts.
It was an IFRT, right. An IANA function review team, right. So an IFR.
Is convened due to, you know, systemic problems that couldn't be resolved through any of the lower level escalation steps, and that IFR could come out with a number of outcomes, but I think those outcomes are either one outcome is no action needed, somehow things get resolved along the way, sanctions. It seems to me that another one is not just sanctions, but this is really a remedial a remedial plan. Remedial plan or program is adopted and approved by the IFR. Sanctions doesn't solve too much. I mean, you know, maybe if there were, you know, if there were credits in an agreement for excessive downtime, the credits are good. But what you really need to do is make sure there's no more downtime problems.
Right. Yeah, I think the sanctions were a holdover from a conversation I had with Paul Kane at one point, where he had this whole sanction mechanism and such.
Aubrey, pardon me for not remembering this offhand. In the language that we have about the IANA review process, I know we have the periodic language well defined. Is there already a defined trigger mechanism for the special review?
Yes. I believe that what you had originally put in here, I think, it basically has the whole, you know, CSE has, one of the paths was CSE has given an issue to the GNSO or the CCNSO, and they have taken it. I'm in the process of pulling out my computer, so I will be able to remember. That's why I use computers, because I don't remember. But, yes, we did have that whole escalation process. We did have a whole set of reasons for why a out-of-band, a special IFR was called.
So all of this is only following that?
Right.
Okay.
Now, well, except for the fact that while I wouldn't expect it, you know, we did allow that it would come out of a regular IFR because we're not distinguishing. And we could. We could say that, no, this only comes out of a special IFR, but the reason I didn't want to do that is because we could have one of those situations where, you know, people really feel like there's a need for a special IFR, but the regular one is only going to be in 4 months anyway. So, you know, why go through all the bother of that? Just take the regular one. And so that's why I didn't want to differentiate between those two in this process.
Well, I mean, I think that if there is a problem that's become acute, I don't think you'd necessarily wait for the regular process. I guess it depends how difficult it is to initiate the special process.
It really isn't all that difficult. But.
Right. So I think you'd probably just initiate it 4 months early, or you know, whether you want to call it accelerating it or initiating a special process. You wouldn't want to wait, you know, and have four more months of suffering. But
that's true.
Yeah, that's kind of an edge issue or a secondary issue. We should be so lucky that was our biggest problem.
Okay, online.
Oh, I missed the Falun Dafa Falun Gong parade.
The what?
The Falun Dafa Falun Gong Parade on 42nd Street.
Oh. I missed another hour of listening to arguments between the U.S. They decided to keep the meeting I was in going for an extra hour, arguing texts between Russia, Bahrain, and the U.S. and about IP issues in the ITU. But anyway.
Oh, well.
That's almost as good as a Falun Gong parade.
Well, actually, I would have been far more interested in that argument than the Falun Gong parade. I do a little IP on the side when I'm not trying to do the IANA transition.
I meant IP, internet stuff.
Oh, internet protocol, not IPR. Okay, sorry.
Right, internet stuff. That would include, but anyhow, sorry, I'm deviating while I'm getting my back myself onto the net. I apologize.
All deviance.
Yeah, well, I deviate a lot. What can I say?
So let's just run through, without reviewing any specific text, let's just run through the points that I think we're agreeing on right now that would be necessary in this process. So number one is internal escalation processes are exhausted. Number two is special review of the IANA functions are initiated through the placeholder. Number three is special review judicial review recommends a separation or partial separation of the naming function. I think we need to dig into detail about what partial separation means and what the different separation options
are. Okay, yeah. On the partial, that was really a bad, as I said in my email answer, and that's why I changed the text there, as I said in my email answer on list, that was really bad wording on my part. That was really what I was trying to cover there, and I'm not even sure that this is in the right place, to be totally honest, is the notion of, because I haven't figured out a scenario that would precipitate it yet, and I'm usually pretty good at inventing scenarios, is a scenario where, you know, it's because, actually, we're not allowed to say that. It's precipitated by the other customers, basically, the IETF, the protocols and the numbers, saying, we've had enough of this, you know, we're gonna go away. And the rest of us said, wait a second, let us review the issues. And you know, the outcome is including them in the ownership. And so I'm not really sure that fits in into this pattern, and perhaps that's worth removing from the sequence, because it isn't in this things are going bad for names escalation method. It's more in things are falling apart in general process. Although it's quite possible, and I'm sort of rambling on, it's quite possible that we would get to a situation that sort of says where the separability review basically says, you know, having a single owner isn't working, but we think it would work if there were three owners, and therefore that was picked as a solution. I don't know if that makes sense as a statement, though. Okay, that's right, appendix.
Aubrey, are you in the Google document now?
Yes, I am, I believe. And also, I've picked up the, and I've also brought up the system so I can look at Appendix F of our draft, so I have our reasons why. Yes, okay. I just wanted to get, I get stuck on things. A special review may also be initiated upon recommendation by a supermajority of both the GNSO and CCNSO following escalation by the CSC, and then it goes in, CSC remedial action procedures are exhausted, defined escalation procedures are exhausted, defined accountability mechanisms are exhausted, decision to initiate a separation process is supported by supermajority of both naming supporting organizations. So the only way we get to a special one is because CSC raised an alarm flag. Okay, yeah, I'm in the document, and yes, I am, and I see you typing in red. Yes.
Okay, so do the kind of five bullet points that I've written so far make sense to everyone? Not complete, but...
Well, I wonder why repeat those here as opposed to just saying an IFR recommends it?
Mm-hmm.
Since these things keyed off an IFR... Right? And as the IFR, as it's been designed, is keyed off by these issues. So that's why, in fact, you had originally written those in here, and I moved them to way back when we were still doing DPN as those were what kicked off the IANA function, the special IANA function review. So we've had a special IANA function review. It has recommended this. Are you suggesting that we could get to this without going through the IFR?
No.
Is that what you're trying to suggest?
No, that's why I have it number two, special review of the IANA functions initiated.
Okay, so number one here is just basically, that's how we got to the IFR.
Remedial action mechanisms have been exhausted. We haven't been able to resolve the issue.
Okay.
Number two, we've gone through the IANA function review, and that's been initiated through the procedures
okay.
that have already been defined in the other documents. Number three is that review, and I know I'm not using consistent language. I think we should probably change the language, because if we're having a number of potential outcomes from this review, I don't want to really call it a separation review. Necessarily.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Presumes a certain outcome. So then this special review recommends a separation. We'll take out partial separation for now of the naming functions. The recommendation to separate is approved by, and now we're back at the trigger discussion.
Well, it's not a recommendation to separate at this point. It's a recommendation to go further down the road.
So it's like approval to initiate an RFP process, basically?
Well, but RFP is only one of the possibles, right?
We're defining the separation process right now. Not an intermediary outcome.
So in other words, So you're basically defining two separate processes. We've got the IFR, we've got whatever, and now we're certain that we want to separate. Is that what you're saying? I'm being slow.
Yep. And we're going to have to go back and say what happens if a different outcome comes out of this special review. But right now we're assuming, and it's not the only thing that can happen, that separation is the recommendation.
So is this special review the same as the special IFR?
Yes.
Okay, so you have the special IFR being the one to make the determination about how to solve the problem that they're seeing. In other words, I had them in the process of we do a review, we see there's a problem, and the review reports on that problem. You have them actually, which is not unreasonable, you have them actually making the recommendation of what to do about it. And if they recommend separation, then and only then do you go into this process, so that we're going into this process when it's absolutely certain that what we want to do is some form of separation, not remediation, but separation. Okay, I get it.
That's at the point that it's already been recommended.
But that makes sense. So I guess the issue then, though, is there is no group that says that it's really the IFR, then the SOs, and then perhaps the board that says, okay, we're now entering into an RFP process.
Well, we're entering into either the RFP or the spin-off process, or do we want to exclude that, too? I'm getting to the point where I'm almost willing to give up on anything just to make it stop.
Right, a separation process. There is not really a separation review. The IFR,
yeah.
The special IFR is initiating a review, one of the results of which could be a recommendation
right.
of form of separation. And then the separation review, in a sense, is really a decision about what kind of separation should take place.
Right. And in some sense, it really does make more sense than the way it was set up before, because
yeah.
reviews not only give you the problem, but they recommend the next step. So, yes, and actually for my problem of the recommendation from the IFR being, you know, we need two more partners in this affiliate, actually makes sense. it makes sense for the IFR to make that kind of recommendation, not the not the separation review. So moving that possible decision down to moving it from Appendix XL to Appendix F makes sense. Okay, so
we all agree that the recommendation can be approved by a supermajority of the GNSO and CCNSO councils.
Yeah. Are we going to get asked whether NIL, INT, and all the CCTLDs that hate ICANN get a say? Or should I ignore that for the moment?
The non-affiliated TLDs, if you will.
Exactly. So we can ignore that.
And there are probably some registries that aren't in the registry stakeholder group either as well.
There'll be a lot of them in the future.
That's true.
I mean, with 1,000-plus registries coming in, all of the brand, for example, none of the brand people, I don't know if you're following, probably aren't because it's mostly inside, but, you know, the brands might not join each. They might just join as a group. So there'll be a lot of registries that aren't necessarily, but they'll be represented in the council by their group, so I guess that's okay. Okay. Now, does it also get a board approval or not?
I think something as significant as losing a defining function of ICANN probably does require board approval. Recognizing that if the board balks at it for reasons that don't make sense from an operational perspective, but because they're kind of wedded to it or think they should have it in perpetuity, then we have the board override provisions.
Right.
Or at least not so much the board override positions, because we can't override under the CCWG rubric, we can't override a regular decision of the board. We can only throw members of the board off if we don't like the decision they make. But that be that as it may, that's kind of the way it has to work. But I can't see doing this without board approval.
Right. Yeah, board approval and or escalation procedure.
And when we talk about the board here, we're talking about PTI board or ICANN board?
No, ICANN board. Yeah, I don't think PTI board gets to say anything about the separation, the RFP. I think that the PTI board gets to be among the applicants if there's an RFP, just like, you know, in the past. I don't see us barring them from applying, you know. But because the RFP having been initiated could be enough to have them institute changes that, you know, would allow them to win another bid. You know, depends on the situation, obviously.
Right.
Okay. So board approval. Do we have to say or override or accountability mechanism override?
No, I don't think we bring in the override because the point of the override is there isn't really an override. There's just a mechanism by which to force the board to change its mind, either by changing the board or having a review of the decision, which I don't really consider to be an override.
Okay, so you don't, and this is probably just terminology, so you don't consider the independent review an override?
Well,
that's okay. I
guess in a sense it is. I mean, yeah, so I think we're maybe just being semantic at this point, so.
Okay. Cool, and that would be it, right?
Yeah, and maybe rather than override, we'll just call it a board decision or an IRP decision.
Right.
And when we say board approval, because this is coming under the fundamental bylaw, there's special processes if the board goes against the recommendation.
Well, see, that's right. That's where there's...
No, I don't think that's the case. The fundamental bylaw just refers to how difficult it is to change that bylaw. The content of the bylaw could be anything from the headquarters city of ICANN to whether they're going to have a gala. Well, that wouldn't really be in a bylaw. But
New Star might want that. I don't know.
Don't open that can of worms with me.
I'm sorry. I've been locked up in the ITU building for a week. I'm not responsible for what comes out of my mouth.
It's a punishment in itself.
Because I haven't been able to speak.
You've been observing?
Well, no, I can speak to my delegation, so I can speak to the U.S. government. And in fact, they're very good at consulting the multi-stakeholder advisors they have on their delegation, but I can't speak in the meeting.
Gotcha.
So,
okay, so that would be it.
Would the board ever approve this?
Yes.
Okay.
I think because of all the, I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, they would see the stuff that was happening. They would know about them being able to be thrown out. They would know about the IFR would obviously have to make a good case for it. You know, you would be in one of these situations where the GNSO and CCNSO would both be at the doors with, you know, clubs and bats. So at that point, you'd already be in a very highly escalated, stressful situation with them knowing that there was nothing but mess ahead for them if they don't agree to this process. So I think there is a possibility, certainly, that they would. There's a possibility that they wouldn't, but I don't think it's impossible. The people that say that they would never, ever agree to this, I think... you know, and it also depends on who's at the board. You know, are we electing reasonable people and such? So I wouldn't presume that they wouldn't. Of course, we have to have the ability to force them, which we would.
Right. And that process would be through the accountability mechanism.
Right. And there's everything from, you know, voting out individual ones to you know, because certainly the GNSO and the CCNSO have their four representatives, and if those four representatives were part of a unanimity against, and hopefully we could set this up that a supermajority of both the GNSO Council and that, so, you know, we could put this in as one of those clauses where, since this has a supermajority of both GNSO and CCNSO, the board can only overrule it by the same PDP standards, that they could only overrule it by their own supermajority. And since we have four board members, that already makes that supermajority, I think it's still possible because there's 16 of them? We take out four, that's 25%. So they could still have 75% if my numbers are correct without our four.
Hmm.
But it's close.
Right.
I think that makes sense to me, Aubrey. To do apply the same standards as the PDP. I want to, like, review the actual language in it, but...
Yeah, and I think we're... And I have to go back and look at the accountability stuff because I think we're already putting that condition on certain things. So I think there may even be wording from the accountability document where we don't have to say PDP standards, but we can actually refer to one of their named mechanisms. But I'll have to go back to the document to reload that stuff, because, as I say, it's not what's been uppermost in my mind this last week.
So now the recommendation has been approved.
Right. So now we go into the special this, and now it can be called a separation process, because we've gotten approval to separate.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you know, it may just be an RFP. Keep it simple. I mean, obviously the discussions we've had on the list the other day, and I'm willing to move most of these other things as possible IFR results, you know, the range of possible outcomes. Well, obviously, right. So only an RFP would remain here with these. Well, or does also full separation of IANA affiliate remain?
I have a hard time envisioning the circumstance in which that's the correct outcome.
Yeah. I mean, the one that I put, the scenario one, is basically, you know, we look around and we see the reason it's not working is because ICANN staff is mucking with them too much, that there's a kind of corruption inside ICANN staff that's making it impossible for IANA to do the right thing. And that's why I, you know, created that, and I created that whole model with whistleblowers. And while I'm very careful to say it's complete speculation, it's not as complete speculation as it may appear just from things one can't talk about that were revealed during the last ATRT. But be that as it may. So there's the possibility that the senior management of ICANN, which we can't do anything about, you know, we can't throw out the board and fix that. We can't touch the CEO. There's nothing we can do. If there's endemic corruption inside ICANN staff, we have a very hard time fixing that. That requires going through the board and going through all kinds of machinations. So that's why I was thinking that if the problem was endemic corruption inside ICANN that makes it impossible for the PTI to do its job, but the CSC and all the customers go, but these guys are good. If only they could do their job. And so that's why the complete separation possibility at that point became an option. And that's the kind of scenario I was thinking of, where the problem is not with PTI, the problem with how ICANN treats them since they're still a subsidiary. So I'm sure that, you know, but 3 stays in, I'm not sure about 5.
Right. My other issue here is that, because I know people have debated this point, but I don't see how you can create PTI and not have PTI being the entity carrying out all 3 functions.
Oh, you mean where naming leaves, but protocols and numbers stay?
Right, because you're moving assets and you're moving people. IANA is either happening out of the sub or it's not happening out of the sub.
It's true.
It's not a tied to naming function, numbering. If you're moving IANA assets into the subsidiary, contracts can still remain with ICANN, but it's going to be PTI for all of the 3 communities that is carrying out the naming function. If your resolution is to spin out PTI, how can that be a process and that be a decision that's solely carried out by the naming community when it implicates all 3, because they're all sitting within that subsidiary?
Well, in a sense, not necessarily, because ICANN would still be contracting with that PTI. It just wouldn't be an affiliate or a subsidiary anymore. It would be an external supplier. And and it could still be doing that. That's just it. If you spin it out as a solution, it remains intact. The only thing that's different is there's no ownership relationship between ICANN and the affiliate. There's just contractual relationships between them. So that I don't see. The problem I see with the RFP, on the other hand, is if we're doing an RFP just for naming, and we're saying it's slightly more complicated, and naming is saying we want the naming function to be done by a different company, but ICANN will still have PTI doing the protocol and numbers work.
Part of the problem.
That would be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to say part of the problem is that we're trying to solve a piece of a problem because of this, you know, fractiousness. You know, I think for our intents and purpose, you know, we have to stay inside the names fence, but it may well be
right.
That this, you know, gets revised by the ICG. Indeed, we might even recommend that it be revised if the other communities get involved.
Well, Elisa's already doing it. Elisa's already telling them, look at what we're doing, and are you really sure you don't want to go in with them on this? So I would like to, at least for the moment, try and keep both bullets 3 and 5. They're both kinds of separation.
Oh, 3 and 5 of the triggers.
No, 3 and 5 of the possible outcomes. So in other words, you either create an RFP with the possible outcome of selecting a new entity to perform the IANA function, or you spin out the IANA affiliate into a freestanding entity. Those are the two possible forms of separation that could happen.
Gotcha.
So they're both separation. They have slightly different characteristics. I don't know, Stephanie, you said you didn't see a possible reason why that would be the answer. Was the scenario I gave you it close to explaining a possible scenario?
I mean, I understand the principal reason why you would do it. Like, I understand that the principled argument is that the problem is with ICANN. It's not, doesn't have to do with IANA staff. It doesn't have to do with those folks. There's, like, some policy-driven process or some ICANN piece of the puzzle that's causing it. I'm just, realistically having a hard time seeing what that would be.
Yeah, I mean, in some sense, it could even be as simple as switching from an insider board to an outsider board, because once you have the outsider board, as they were explaining to us in the call yesterday, if you're an affiliate with an outsider board, you know, ICANN can't mess with you anymore.
Yeah, at that point, that really is kind of a separation in and of itself.
Right, because I doubt we're going to take that as our solution going forward. I'm expecting that we're either going to be the fully owned LLC subsidiary or we're going to be the affiliate with an insider board.
Right, and keeping in mind an insider board can have a minority of outside directors.
Yeah, I'm still not clear on the question whether it's an insider board because it's picked by ICANN or it's an insider board because they're mostly ICANN employees. I wasn't able to get that clearly in my mind yesterday during this discussion. My understanding went back and forth as I listened.
Right, and I think we need more clarity on that. That's not within
it's
my...
It seems like from talking to Donna, it was a bad one to miss.
Yeah, it was. It was really quite educational. It was quite good, but I still... Partially, I was doing it from inside the IT hall, ITU hall at the time, and so I was not speaking as much as sometimes I do. Okay. So can we keep 3 and 5 for now, or do you really think we need to eliminate 5?
I don't think we need to eliminate it, but maybe this is a conversation for the wider group. I'm not concerned about eliminating it right now. It's just something I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around.
Oops, no, I don't mean to do that. I don't want to edit. I want to suggest.
Okay. So let's go up to the separation process, the steps that we're talking about above. To initiate an RFP. Now we're assuming that the decision, the outcome is to appoint a new operator for the naming function. Then what is the process by which that RFP is carried out?
Well, first of all, you mean what kind of group do we build, or?
Yes, we have to have a group that's going to write the RFP. Which is no small thing, and then a group, which may be the same group, that's going to review the responses to the RFP,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately decide or recommend a new operator.
Yep.
In any case, ICANN is the contracting party that hires the new operator. I guess the issue is that different if we spin off PTI, if PTI gets spun off entirely, does that mean that it no longer has any relationship to ICANN?
Well, it still has contractual relationship.
It still has the contractual relationship. So it's still, in essence, performing for ICANN.
Right. It would just be an external. It would be an external. In other words, yeah, it'd be an external service provider. In other words, we've decided we don't need to do an RFP, but we've decided that the PTI needs to be more independent of ICANN for whatever reason.
Right. To go from, say, an insider board to an outsider board, or if it's an LLC, that its stock goes from being, or its units, rather, LLCs have membership units, not stock, that its units go from being owned wholly by and having its only member be to having more than one member and, you know, more than one
right.
entity holding its units. Which, for that matter, the members holding the units could be the unincorporated association.
They could. They could indeed.
So that then it would become a sister corporation to ICANN instead of a subsidiary. That would be.
And these are roads we don't need to go down at this point, but those are all the possible, you know, ways it could happen.
Yeah, but if you smoke enough stuff, you go down those roads.
Oh, all I'm smoking is nicotine. I'm in Geneva.
No, I'm smoking a Subway tuna sandwich. I'm in my office.
Okay. So yeah. So the question is, what kind of group does it have? So that's right. That first bracketed thing we have in that short description, a cross community of the SOAC would be formed, the IFR would be designated, or something else. I get the impression that a full cross community SOAC is not desired. Although I'm pretty sure we're going to get pushback from
you know, the ACs and such if they don't have a role. I don't know that they need an equal role, but I know that they will need a role.
Right. I mean, the GAC at least would have – well, would the GAC have a role? No. The ASO, if it's only about names, I guess the only role is say that the ASO or the other ACT might have – well, ALAC would have a board member. The other ACTs don't have board members.
ASO has a board member.
Right. So I'm saying the ASO has a board member, but the SSAC and the RSAC don't.
Right. So the ASO and ALAC have board members.
Right.
So that's three board members between the two of them. The GAC only has GAC advice.
Right. And
only, I say. But would they want to be part of this group doing this work is the question.
We'll see. I think we can – either way, this is going to have to be kind of a straw man or a a punching bag because, you know, if we put in everybody, then, you know, some people may say, why are they there? If we put in only the GNSO and CCNSO, then there'll be people trying to add people.
So right. I had reasons why I didn't want the IFR to do it, the IFRT to do it, but we could indeed, again, going back to my model of a capital case where you have first the trial for guilt or innocence and then the trial for punishment, that it could be, in this case, not the same people, but the same mix.
Yeah. I kind of like the IFR composition.
Because that does have everybody in it.
And
yeah.
It has a slightly disproportionate, but it has everybody in it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's...
Should we replicate those proportions here, but make a specific note that, maybe there's a liaison from the IFR team, but it should be expected to be different members?
I think that's a good start. I think that's a good straw man because we've got a mix that's already been somewhat accepted. It's already kind of, approved language already. Not really, but it's closer to anything else we're going to invent. It is multi-stakeholder, even though it's not balanced multi-stakeholder, but I don't think it needs to be balanced multi-stakeholder. Though my friends at large would probably be mad at me. I would say that's a good straw man to start with.
My concern, Aubrey, hadn't been that this shouldn't be carried out by a multi-stakeholder group. I just want to have registry, designated GTLD registry participation on this. So I think
right, and that's the extra seat you've got now.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I worry about on this, and I'm surprised that we haven't gotten screams out of the CCNSO yet, even on the IFR, is we've got 5 GNSO to 2 CCNSO. Or something like that. And I'm surprised I haven't yelped about that yet.
We've had on the CSC side that conversation with Martin at several junctures. He keeps making the point, but also seems to understand where it's coming from in the context of being a balance of CCTLD and GTLD operators and also the CCNSO and GNSO. And that if you look at it also, there's ties between the GAC in the CCTLD community, the same way that there are between the GTLD registries and the other members of the GTLD community, that in a sense that is a representative of their other stakeholders. It's kind of been...
Tackled
on a micro level, but I'm surprised because I'm as surprised as you are, Aubrey, that we haven't.
Okay, but we can, you know, as I say, it makes sense to float that as the trial balloon, and then we either deal with that
that the balance in both of them or just in one of them. But I think that's the easiest straw man for us to put together is we'll use the same mix. And then that leaves us having the argument, then why not the same people? But I think we can make that argument, and it's just basically it's a new batch. It's also different skills in a sense.
Yeah.
The people that know how to write an RFP and review new service providers is not necessarily the same as the ones that review performance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll get rid of this bracketed text. Am I still suggesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still suggesting. Okay. So, and then type in.
What are we calling this team that is a community team?
I can't believe that three of us have not come up with an interesting name that works for this thing.
There's too many names. That's the problem. You can't use anything because it's already... Community team would be appointed to manage the RFP process, pull proportion. Okay, so I think that resolves a lot of your comments and my comments, Aubrey.
I got a quick question. Why did you not want whatever we call this thing to be defined as a fundamental bylaw?
I think it should be a fundamental bylaw.
I just deleted that here because it didn't make. I had moved stuff around and it didn't make sense as a header. I just need to clean up this document because I've moved and typed stuff in so many different places. I still think it'll be defined in a bylaw.
Oh, okay, great. It just doesn't belong there. Okay.
The reason I had deleted it was just because we weren't defining just the review anymore. That was going to be defined elsewhere.
Okay.
And we were talking about the separation process. But I'm going to clean up this text.
Okay. So separability initiation, an SI. Separation, no, we don't use separation. I actually, for some reason, I'm really partial to using the word separability because that is the name of this principle, the principle of separability. And calling this process, So separability initiation process, SIP, that almost sounds like a telephony protocol.
I still think it's separation initiation process because separability just means the ability to separate, not the exercise of that ability. So something that's pliable can be bent, but you're not if you're actually plying it, it's not.
Right, okay. So you're right. There's been a decision to separate.
Yeah.
Right. When it was a review, I had real problems with separation. Now that it's post-decision, I'm less concerned.
So let's call it the Separation Implementation Committee, or SIC for short.
Oh, I like that. We are our second SIC. We have the board SIC, and now we'll have the IANA SIC. That works for me.
Okay, can we go to the second doc and run through the Sidley punch items to see if we're missing anything?
Sure.
And Aubrey, I probably have to give you access to it, so let me make sure I'm in my right.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a second document.
So I posted the link in the Adobe Connect.
Oh, I haven't even been on the Adobe Connect. What room are we using?
I haven't either, but it's there. It should be.
Yeah, it was there. It's a empty room.
Maybe if you joined late, you don't see it, though?
Oh, I haven't joined the room yet. That's what I didn't do.
Well, then let me just...
I got to my room, so, and then I brought up the machine, but we're in CWG IANA room?
No, accountability is called, I guess.
CWG IANA.
IANA, yeah. Okay, signing in now.
And Barry, I just got your request.
Network is very slow in my hotel room. You can start talking through it while I'm trying to get there.
Okay. So, number one, proposal contemplates that a separation review may be initiated by TLDs on concerns raised by TLDs directly with a CCNSO or GNSO. Oh, shoot. I copied the wrong part. I'm sorry.
Is this the wrong part of the punch list?
It just doesn't seem to have copied well.
Somebody's got to let me into the room.
Let me in, Coach. I'm ready.
Who's got the room? Okay, thanks. I'm in. Okay, and there's the doc. I can click on it now. You need permission. I request access. I have requested access. About as healthy as I feel.
I've got this bronchitis that I seem to have been cured, except that my lungs are still hacky.
For some reason, I'm missing the question from the first part.
We go back to the punch list itself.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a question and it was just commentary.
Into the room yet. I mean, into the dock yet.
There. I have you on the share, Aubrey.
Okay, let me try reloading it then. There I am. Okay, thanks.
No problem. Okay, so it is actually just a statement. Maybe for here we should just pull in what the processes are for initiating.
Okay, these are all the Appendix F ones, not the Appendix L ones, right? Okay.
NXS contemplates any amendments proposed by IFR would be subject to ratification by CCNSO. And GNSO determine majority or supermajority require both organizations.
Yeah, so it was supermajority of both.
Yep.
Well, but these are still questions for about the IFR, not about the SIC.
The special.
No, this is still the special IFR that they're asking these punch questions on.
Yes.
These are not the punch questions on the new SIC that we've just named tonight.
Yes.
Right, okay.
These are being approved by the supermajority of the CCNSO and the GNSO. Special majority is triggered by a supermajority vote of the CCNSO. Usually I have the weird sirens. I don't know who that was, but usually that's my problem.
Oh, that's Geneva. That's me in Geneva.
Well, I'm like two blocks from the White House, so that's always me on conference calls here. That's funny. Special review is triggered by a supermajority vote of CCNSO and GNSO councils determine the voting threshold. So now we're going back. We're not talking about the outcomes, but we're talking about actually triggering the review processes.
Right. Well, I guess just to interject, on determining the voting thresholds, shouldn't those be the voting thresholds determined by those organizations?
Right.
Yeah.
Because the GNSO supermajority is that funny formula.
Yeah. I'd say it's, supermajority vote of CNSO, GNSO councils, as defined in their procedures or rules and procedures.
In the bylaws or their procedures, right.
If a persistent problem triggers a special review, will the timeline of review be accelerated to address the issue? If not, how are issues addressed in the interim?
Like an odd question.
Because we have it on a we have a special review which takes everything into account. Was set at, 9-10 month schedule? And I guess the question is, when you're doing a special review because it's been escalated because of a problem, are you still working on that same schedule?
Yeah.
Or does a special review have a limited scope, which is just the problem? And so you don't have to, for example, I think the first part of the IFR, if I remember, was, it's not quite a questionnaire, but it's going out, so it was, how's the wider community, as with other communities, recommend making lists and that. Near the beginning of the process, the community would be asked to consider issues relevant to the review. Midway through the process, a draft report will be provided for community review. Do we need, if this has been precipitated by an emergency, do we still need that first process, that first bullet? Near the beginning of the process, the community will be asked to consider issues relevant to the review. Or probably yes. So no, I guess it doesn't get accelerated, so it's still a 9-monther? That makes sense?
I'm trying to figure this out.
It's on page 54 of the full proposal, if you want to see where that's been written up.
I am pulling that up this moment here. I didn't have a well-thumbed copy. So 54, let's see.
Yeah, 53, 54. Oh, you've got it on paper.
Me? I have it on my screen.
You said it was well-thumbed.
I said I don't have a well-thumbed copy. So that's why I'm pulling it up on the screen. So why are we calling it a special review?
Because it's not. It's the one that isn't done every 4 years or 5 years or whatever the cycle is.
Right.
This
so
is this is one that's been precipitated by a CSC crisis that was escalated to the SOs.
Right. So I guess I don't see why that would take the same time as a regular IFR. I guess that's the question. Is a special review that's triggered by a limited set of problems going to do the same kind of comprehensive review as the periodic review process? To my mind, the answer would be no. Because really what you're doing is looking at where the fire is and trying to decide whether it can be resolved in a manner short, you know, what your recommendation is about the fire area. You wouldn't, you know, go through the rest of the review at that point, seems to me. That would be kind of a waste of time.
Exactly.
So we talk about a special review being initiated by these, you know, separate, you know, this may change a bit, obviously, but yes. So I would say that a special review is going to focus on the, just on the identified deficiency and whether it can be resolved and not on reviewing every aspect of performance, including those completely unrelated to the identified deficiency.
Entirely isolated. I agree that the inputs to the special review process are going to be narrower and more specific than they would be as part of the periodic review process, but I think you also have to be looking at the relative weight of the issue with, as it compares to overall performance.
No, I agree. Well, I mean, I guess the issue is if it's an insignificant problem, are we going to, or a relatively insignificant problem, are we going to have a special review at that point?
Right.
I mean, it seems relatively unlikely that all the prior processes would have broken down on a relatively small thing, and that we'd have enough IFR on an issue that wouldn't be enough to, you know, that wouldn't really be a material detriment. But I mean, I guess it could happen. I don't know why it would happen. Everyone would have to be pretty intransigent for that to happen.
But other than consultation with the IANA functions operator, maybe, because it's at the end of so many, I think you'd still want consultation. I can't see any of the phases being things that you would want to do away with as part of a special review.
Yeah, I think I got to that point, too.
Even if the inputs are slightly different.
Yeah, it might still be a little shorter than 9 months, both because you're going to give things, as you say, different weight, and some things you may spend very little time looking at, because this isn't intended to be a comprehensive. This is a sick visit and not a well visit, in a sense. you know, even
not your yearly physical.
Right. Even in a sick visit, the doctor still, you know, checks your lungs and, you know, looks down your throat and stuff like that. But they're not going to give you the full checkup, thankfully. In
the special review, you're not going to be probably looking at openness and transparency procedures. You're not going to be looking at the effectiveness of oversight structures.
Right, unless those are part of the problem.
Unless you those know. Are the problem. You're not going to be looking at...
If it was kind of the accountability stack, so to speak, okay. that was causing the problem, then I guess you'd look at those. But your focus is going to be on where the identified deficiency is taking place, and everything else will be kind of proportionate in looking at that rather than looking at everything equally. Also, given that you've got a sick patient, you're not going to take 9 months to find a cure.
I think we've beat this metaphor to death.
Including that one.
Okay. So,
the next one's hard to answer.
Additional that we want to add to the how our issues addressed in the interim?
Looks fairly good.
Well, I mean, I guess in terms of answering the actual question, we imagine the timeline would be slightly constrained, maybe somewhat accelerated rather than slightly constrained.
I think the work would be done quicker. It would be in an emergency situation, so instead of meeting once every couple weeks, you would be meeting on a several time a week basis or something like that, because you had something important to get done quickly.
Yeah. Maybe even significantly accelerated. I don't know. Imagine if we were trying to do the IANA transition or accountability on a normal working group schedule of, you know, like an hour and a half once a week or every other week.
About a 6-year process.
Yeah. Still feels like a 6-year process.
Special review committee. What undefined accountability mechanisms are exhausted? Define, I believe, what these refer to.
Finally found the punch list.
Take the task of cleaning up the separation, the DTX document, because I think I'm mostly responsible for making a mess of it. Is there anything that we have to update on any other documentation about the special review process that isn't going to be this document that we were all looking at for this call?
Well, we haven't dealt with, in terms of the punch list, I don't think we've dealt with the whole punch list, I mean, our whole punch list here. We have not dealt with 24 through 29, have we? Which is the sick, which they call the SR, but still. Or the SP, they call it, separation process. Do we have to answer those two according to the new stuff we've done, or at least check what we've done against it to see how we're doing? Should I add those to the table?
Yeah.
Because 24 is under what circumstances can the separation process be triggered? Will it only be upon a recommendation of the IFR? I think we dealt with that one. What remedies must be exhausted prior to triggering separation process? That's the RFR recommendation. Who can initiate a separation process? I think we dealt with that one. It's the IFR with the GNSO, CCNSO supermajority and board approval. What was the other one? Oh, I just lost it. Fumble fingers. Is the cross-community working group for separation contemplated by NXL different from the IFR team? If so, more detail is needed. I think we took the easy way out on that one and said nope. Is there an interim approval of an IFR recommendation to separate? I think we said yes. That's by it being driven by, approved by both the SOs and the board, and then implementation of separation. I guess that's where we describe the two bullets and the RFP, et cetera. So we've answered them. We just have to also put this table in your doc. Is that reasonable?
Yeah.
And then between cleanup, I mean, I'd offer to help too. In fact, I mean, I'm more than willing to help, and I'm also supposed to write an article on gender and internet governance this weekend. So I'm not sure where my brain will be at. Actually, I'm still trying to find out whether we have an ad hoc meeting tomorrow to keep working on text. So I appreciate that you've been taking the pen on this very, very much. In fact, well, you've had it a lot of the way through. You've written a lot of the work, even though I've done most of the talking. But you've done most of the work.
I'm going to try and update what I can of this today, otherwise tomorrow morning. So if folks want to take a look, it should be certainly set by Sunday or Monday, but so it will hopefully have some agreed text by the Tuesday CWG call.
Fantastic.
Sounds good. If you could send an email around to the DTN list when you feel like you've got it in a state or when you're in a state.
Right, so all the people that just peek in every once in a while as opposed to actually joining the phone call.
The anonymous lizards.
And you know, Avery and I as well would know when we could take a look.
Right. Well, now, I'm sure, I know me, as a writer, I will be looking for any excuse for work avoidance. And so this, doing this, will become work avoidance on the article that's making me suffer.
Yeah, half the work I do is avoiding other work.
Exactly. I wouldn't get nearly as much done if I didn't have to write hard articles.
Right. Sometimes the only way I get other work done is to find something else to do to avoid.
Exactly.
All right. I have to drop because I actually have hurried press comments to write, but I'll send you guys a note soon.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you both. Bye, all.
Bye. Dinner.